they can be one of those and report to duty. Amen. Because it's I believe the last days and the opportunity that's there, and the responsibility is certainly ours to, as the Bible says, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, no doubt. Here in the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, we find where this is a time in the history of Israel where they were building the temple. But yet, all of a sudden, Haggai the prophet noticed that the temple was sitting stagnant, that they had quit working on it. As a matter of fact, it was 10 years had gone by. And it was just sitting there. You know, this beautiful, beautiful temple that was started years before, and all that God had the plans and had the people in place, and all of a sudden now a decade has gone by, and we find where Haggai, the prophet, God came to him 4 different times in these 2 chapters, gave him 4 different messages to the people. And he would say, go and tell the people. It's saying the word of the Lord came unto Haggai saying. And then he would go and he would get the message to Zerubbabel. And he would get the message to the people. And I like him. We don't know a whole lot about him, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He stepped on toes. He just laid it out there, and if you didn't like it, that's just too bad, but it was the truth. And I mean, all of a sudden, he cleaned house. I mean, we're fixing to read some verses, and we're going to see where, you know, Haggai wasn't trying to make friends, that's for sure. He probably didn't make a whole lot of friends. As a matter of fact, we find where the ministry of Haggai only lasted about 4 months. It was a short-lived ministry. And whenever you take and you add the days up, because it would start out right here saying in such and such year and such day, and then when you look at the other ones between chapter 1 and chapter number 2, you find out that God just used him at that particular time to stir up the people and get them moving and get them back to work and back to thinking about the house of God instead of just their house and their agenda and what was going on in their particular situation. But 4 times we see where he says, consider your ways. And that's just what I want to kind of use as a title this morning, if we may, that we just need to stop and don't think about somebody else or what's going on in their life, but just look in the mirror this morning and consider our ways. Well, look here with me, Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king. Otherwise, Darius was the king of Persia, who came in and took over after Babylon was the main. You can of course read about this in the book of Daniel. Babylon was the head leader, the world power at that time. But then the Medes and the Persians came in one night and just wiped them out and just destroyed them. And then you have the Persian Empire, and then after that the Empire of Greece and so forth, and then the Roman Empire during Jesus' day. But here he says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the 1st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, saying. Okay, well, let's see what the Lord had to say here. Let's see what the Lord told Haggai that he needed to tell the people. Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, otherwise he's saying, this is what the people are saying. He's saying, Haggai, wake up. Let me tell you something. He said, this is what the people is saying. This is what they're running their mouth about, and we got to do something about it. He said, the people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Question mark. He says, is it time for you to just take and allow the Lord's house and the Lord's work and the things of God and lost people that need to be saved and tracts to be passed out and tithing to be done and praying to be done and a Bible to be read? He said, in Sunday school classes to be taught and attended. He says, in songs to be sung. He says, is it time for you to just worry, to just forget about all of that while you dwell in your sealed houses? That word sealed means walled and paneled. Otherwise, it means wooden panel. Like they would do their beautiful wooden ceilings in that day with beautiful cedar wood. He said, here you taking and you're fat catting. You're living what you want to do and forgetting about the house of God that's been sitting there now for 10 years and nobody's even picked up a hammer. Nobody has done anything whatsoever. Then he goes on in verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord of Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time, or verse number 5, I'm sorry. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Otherwise, think about what you're doing. Verse 6, you've sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. You ever been there? You ever feel that way? You ever feel like, you know, it seems like the more money you have, the less you have? You ever feel like you're putting it in a bag with holes? You ever take and you ever just look at your bank account and you think, that must be a mistake. Where in the world is this money going? Where in the world is, in, you know, what is going on in my life? It seems like that about the time I think that I'm getting ahead, I take two steps backwards. It seems like that about the time I think that everything's going good and everything's working out fine, then I just, seems like out of nowhere I get knocked down again. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have been there? You've been there, haven't you? You may be there right now. And you know exactly what the prophet here is trying to say. He says in verse number 7, Then saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Maybe when that happens in our life, maybe we ought to just stop and consider our ways. Not somebody else's way. Not question God or why in the world God letting us. You know, we come up with every excuse and every reason in the world when the truth is maybe we need to consider our ways. Maybe there's a reason for that. And he tells them here in verse number 8 exactly what they need to do. He says, okay, consider your way. He says, you want to stop putting your money in bag with the holes in it? He said, you want to stop? And yeah, you got food to eat, but it seems like there's never enough. There's never enough to drink. There's never enough. You got clothes, but yet nobody's warm. It seems like you're always a day late and a dollar short. He says, let me tell you what you need to do. Tell you what you need to do. Verse number 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much and lo, came little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. See, you know, sometimes God is the one that's kicking us back. God is the one that's taking and trying to shake us up because we're more interested in what we're interested in. We're more interested in what's going on in our life. We're more interested in, and we forget about God. And God says, okay, you go ahead in your own power and your own strength, but all you're going to do is spin your wheels. All you're doing is running out of gas. All you're doing, you're not getting anywhere. It seems like you are, and you see it, but then all of a sudden you look and you haven't even moved. Nothing's happening in your life. He says, and you know what? That's because that's the way I want it to be. Because because I'm trying to get your attention. He says, you've done all of this and you put forth all this effort. And then what did the verse say? He said, and I did blow upon it. You know, sometimes we build and we construct, we put all this effort into what we want and our dreams in this life. And God says, I huff and puff and I blow it out. I'll blow it down. Because it has nothing to do with me. You're not interested in me. You're not interested in the Bible. You're not interested in the things of God. You're not interested in people. But you have your agenda. And your agenda is number one to you. But we'll see how long that lasts. I mean, old Haggai now, this guy's a preacher. I mean, he's stepping on to, he's just laying it out there. He says, hey, this is what God said. Don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger boy. And he says, you look, and then we find in verse number 10, he says, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Now you go ahead, you put all the seed in the ground you want to, but I'm not going to water it. Verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the lands, of the hands. And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. There's our magic word right there. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and for the people did fear the Lord. So finally God did take, and God blessed, because they finally stopped and considered their ways, and it all of a sudden it woke. And I just want to take just a moment this morning and look at this particular subject. Consider your ways. There's five or six things I want us to take and look at. First of all, there in verse number 6 this morning, we see the problem. What was the problem? What is it? Well, the problem that they had, I believe, is the same problem that we have today. The same problem that we, and the main problem is just pride in our life, is that we lose interest in what we need to be interested in. How many times have you heard me say down through the years that it's time for us to get interested in what God is interested in? You know, until we get interested in what God is interested in, I don't believe God is going to be interested in what we are interested in. But see, we expect God to bless us. We expect God to do this and that. And we expect whenever we snap our fingers and whenever we pray for something and whenever we whatever, that God is just supposed to jump. When the truth of the matter is, have we forgotten about the things of God? And it happens very easily. It happens, I guess, in everybody's life. People get so busy and they get caught up and they're doing and they're working and they got their family and they got this going on and they're interested in what's going on TV, and it's football season and they got Little League and they got this and they're running here and they got all this and Thanksgiving's around the corner and Christmas is coming and we got this party and we got this tree to put up and we got to do this shopping and we got to run and we got to do all in the name of Christmas, that we think that we're celebrating Christ coming to this earth, and yet how much of it even has anything to do with Him? Yet we shut Him completely out of our lives, and then we find there in ourselves living right in verse number 6. You've sown much, well, you've done some things, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but it's none filled with drink. You clothe, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. It seems like it flies out of the bank account faster than you put it in. It seems like you're walking around with holes in your pockets and you're thinking, man, what happened? Where did it go? Are we putting God first? Are we putting the Lord? Are we learning these principles? Maybe it's time that we go up to the mountain and we do what God wants us to do. Otherwise, when He said go up to the mountain and cut these trees, come out, that put forth some effort. That's some sweat. That's work. That's a sore back. That's going out of our way. That's leaving our agenda and our will and our flesh and what we want in this life. And saying, okay, God, I'm ready to put you first place. I want you to be number one in my life. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere. Just like that, just like down at the Jackson Drag Strip when they hit the gas on them cars and them wheels is going 200 miles an hour and that car's just not even moving because the front brakes is on. God knows how to put the front brakes on. All you're doing is burning up rubber, not getting anywhere whatsoever. Why? Because He's saying, hey, it's time. I can get you on down the track if you put me first. If you just listen to me. But here we are. We taking and we got our bag. It's all ours. And we just walking along. Well, it's got holes in it. And all of a sudden we're wondering, What happened? Man, I had more than that, didn't I? What happened? No, because we was too busy. The altars will be full this morning, won't they? But we got our thing. It's time to get back to what is God's will. You know, and I'm not even going to spend time in the tithing thing and all. We know what the Bible says. Give of the first fruits of thine increase, not what's left over. You know, why? Because God needs it? No. But we need to give it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're one of those people and you're living right there in verse number 6, it might be that you need to stop and consider your ways. If you're one of those ones that says, well, I just can't afford to give and I just can't afford that tithing stuff. It's up to you. But you might want to consider your way. You might want to go back and read verse number 6. Do you feel like one of the ones that's spinning your tires and you just can't ever seem to get ahead? Are you being obedient to Christ? Are you doing it His way? I mean, how many times do we have people in this church that have testified to the fact that, hey, you know, I started being obedient to Scripture. I was faithful to do that. And man, God sure has blessed. God's blessed me on my job. God's given me this. God's taken him, and I've gotten raises or promotions and different things. And man, God is just, and I just continue to give, and I just want to give even more. And the more I give, the more God gives. And that is exactly the way that it works. But if you don't want to do it that way and you don't want to live by faith, then God can put some holes in your bag. He can do that. And you'll look around and you'll wonder, how did this happen? You know, the old song says, little is much when God is in it. He can take just a little and it'll go so far and do so much. But yet, on the other hand, we look at Scripture like this in this particular thought this morning, that there's some that have a lot. I don't care if you make $100 an hour. God can put a hole in that bag too. He can put a big hole in it. And if you're not going to take it and you're not going to go about it with God's plan and God's way and putting God first, it don't make any difference. You're not going to out-earn God. You can't put enough into that bag to be enough when God puts a hole in it. You say, but would God do that? And would God? God loves us. I know. That's exactly why He does. Because He cares, and He has a plan. He has a perfect plan, a perfect will for our life. I found this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18. I don't know if it's They got it to put up there, but basically talking about exactly what this story is saying in Ecclesiastes 10 and 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth. Otherwise, by much laziness, by sitting back and just concerned about our agenda, he says the building decayeth. And by much idleness. Of the hands, the house droppeth through. And there, when you read that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's talking about the temple. It's talking about the ministry of God. It's talking about that sometimes goes without, sometimes suffers because we don't want to be obedient to Christ because we're too busy taking and doing our own thing. So the problem. I begin to think about this past week, and I guess it's still going on, the rioting in towns and cities around the country, and you know some of the stupid stuff that's going on. I seen a video the other day where a guy pulls up at a red light, and there's five or six thugs, and they take and they say, oh, he voted for Trump. He voted for Trump. And they drag him out of his, I mean, I'm not saying drag him out of his car. And they just start just beating on his head. And the guy trying to get back in, and somebody stand off videoing it. Just crazy things that's going, just an excuse, just a reason to be rebellious, just a reason to just take and act like a foolish person. What a shame that is. And still just continuing to go on. But I read an article this morning where this past week there were six Green Berets that were killed. Anybody see that? Anybody see those six green, couple of them? Not very many people because, well, that don't make the national news. I mean, you know, who wants to hear about people losing their life or fighting for our country? I mean, come on, you don't, that ain't a big deal, right? And I read that and I thought, and in this article it said, while the rioting was going on and so forth, and in a 48-hour period of time, I think there was two or three that was in Afghanistan and they were fighting against the Taliban that were killed. There was some that was... There was two or three others that were fighting against it. The people from Jordan. It was some kind of group, and they got killed. One of them was actually in Florida. He was on a training mission. He was a scuba diver he was a Green Beret, and he drowned somehow. And they're investigating that, trying to see exactly what happened. I thought, why haven't I heard about this week? What a shame. And it's, you know, week we're supposed to take and celebrate our veterans, but all this other stuff that just takes priority over. You know, one of the problem. Yeah, you know, there's a problem today. We got to get back to get our focus on what's important and what's right and what's, you know, and appreciating what we need to appreciate. The problem number two. Anytime there's a problem, God always has an answer. He always has a remedy for it. Number two, we see the prescription. We see there's some medicine here. In verse number 8, he tells them what to do. He says, okay, you want me to plug up the hole in your bag? You want me to bless you once again? He said, go up to the mountain. Otherwise, that entails getting up off of it. Action, doing something. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. See, it's all about the Lord being glorified. If he's not praised, if he's not honored, if he's not glorified, his will's not taken, he's not going to bless. But we live in a day where, boy, people, the Christians, sat around and wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this taking place? Why isn't God blessing me? Are we putting him first place in our praying, in our church attendance, in our giving, and the list goes on and on and on? You say, well, I know people that God, that seems like that they're doing okay, and they got this and that. Boy, they don't even... I don't think they're Christians. They don't even go to church. They don't do anything. But yet it seems like more things are working out pretty good for them. Well, let me say this. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. There's a lot of people out there maybe just ignorantly. They don't know any better. They've been taught any better. But I promise you one thing. The people in this room right here won't get away with it. The people people in this room right here, you run from God, and you know you do anything contrary to what God's word teaches us to do, he's going to put some holes in your back. And you're going to wonder, what in the world has happened? What in the world is taking place? No, the truth is, we know what we should do, and to whom much is given, much is required of us. So if you want God's blessing, we have to get back to the obedience in our life. What are we doing? Are we going to the mount? Are we praying? Are we doing our part? Are we inviting other people? You know, I had to, yesterday, had the, went out and visited some people and so forth, and knocked on a few doors, I was thinking a little bit about this, and I thought, you know, I believe this is part of that, going to the mountain. This is part of, you know, doing something, because there's no doubt that's God's interest. You know, he says that what you've done in the least of these, you've done it unto me. You know, he that winneth souls is wise. I mean, you know, go ye into all the world. I mean, there's verse after verse after verse. So that's God's heart, and that's God's interest. And I believe that's always what God will bless. If we won't take the prescription, it's there. It's up to you. You know, it's just like when you get sick and the doctor writes you a prescription, you go by the drugstore and you get that filled and you come home, and guess what? You can put that up in the cabinet and say, I ain't taking that medicine. And just continue to be sick. Choice is yours. Or there's the remedy. There's the cure. There's the medicine. And I believe that's exactly what Haggai is telling them. Hey, you want things to change? You want God's blessing? Here's the remedy for it. You do what you want to with it. And they kind of hee-hawed around a little bit of, about that. But we see then in number three, the punishment. Starting there in verse number 9, you say, well, God punishes us? Yes. Because he's our heavenly Father, and because he loves us, and because he desires to do that. We were the second week in my Sunday school class in the book of Jonah. Why did Jonah go through? I believe Jonah was a good man, a godly man. God chose him to go to this wicked city of Nineveh and preach to them. Boy, he ran from God and he went the other direction, and he had to spend some time in the belly of a whale because God hated him, because God just wanted to see him suffer. Because God loved him. God wanted to change his heart. God wanted to change, get him going in the right direction. And sometimes the Lord has to get our attention the same way. But there in verse number 9, he says, "Ye look for much." Look at the punishment here. "And lo, it came little." Expected so much. You've been there, haven't you? When you thought, boy, it was surely this is going to happen, and you had these big aspirations, you was looking, and boy, it just didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to. He says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, that little bit that you did have, I blew upon it. I kicked it over. Why? He says, why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. He says, you've built and you've done this, and you've tried to establish, and you've put all this effort into what you're interested in. He says, and it just seemed like it didn't hardly, and it only worked out about halfway. He says, and then what happened? He says, you brought that home. He said, and I knocked it over. Why? He puts that one question, that one word right in the middle of that. He says, why would I do that? Because I hate you? Because I don't like you? Because, he said, no. He says, because my house is sitting over there rotting and decaying and rusting away while you're doing your thing. And you ain't even thought about the house of God. You ain't even thought about that. Well, there's some powerful scripture. That doesn't fit our generation today. I don't know what does. I wonder if there's people here today that's the same way. You're interested in what you're doing. I'm not talking about interested in bad things. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about you just got your own schedule. And you've scheduled, but God ain't nowhere in that schedule. What about it? What do you think about the work of God? Have you prayed for it this week? Have you prayed for the ministry? Have you prayed for people on our prayer list? Have you prayed for your Sunday school teacher? Have you prayed for the pastor? Have you prayed for the ministry and the missionaries that will be coming this week? And have you, or is that so far from our mind? And then we wonder, why does it seem like I can't get anywhere? Because we don't have bad interest. We just don't have God as part of our interest. And what a shame. And God has to deal with us to get our attention. And then let me give you these last two things, and we'll be through. Number four, we see the progress. The progress. Boy, they finally started to wise up here. Finally started to wake up. Because the man of God said, this is the problem. This is what you need to do. And verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. Otherwise, not just them, but all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. So otherwise, finally, they said, yes, sir. Let me get my saw and my axe, and I think it's time to get up the mountain, get some timber, get it back down here and get it cut up. It's time to get to work. That's what God's interested in. That's what's on God's agenda. That's God's will for us. I think it's time to get moving. And let's do what God has already called us to do. The house of God's been sitting there too long with nothing happening. So I like that little word there in the middle of verse number 12, obeyed the voice of the Lord. That's the key, isn't it? That's the key. You know, blessed is that one. What did we find in last week? We was looking in Matthew chapter number 7. That one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. But then he compared him to somebody else. The one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. What happened? The storm came along and the house fell. Because they knew what they needed to do. They knew what was right. It's not that there was any problem with their hearing. The problem was with their hands and their feet. The problem was they wasn't putting any action into what God had taken and God had told them to do. Then verse 13 says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. They obeyed his voice. And God said, I just want you to know, I'm not against you. I'm with you. I don't want to bring harm to you. I don't want to, you every time you put something money in your bag, it falls out. I didn't, that's not what I want. That's not my will for you. I'm with you, behind you. But there's a way to take and to go about this thing. So, boy, what progress was made? What progress had happened and had taken place there in those particular verses, because God had gotten their attention. And then lastly, the prophet. What did it profit? You know, the New Testament said, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, I can't help but think about a verse like that in relation to what we find here in this chapter. You know, if these people that have it all and they're sitting and they're in their sealed houses and they got their cable vision and they got their plush carpet on the floor and they have all of this and their mind is so far away from the things of God, he says, but what good is it if they lose their own soul? If there's nothing spiritual that's taking place whatsoever. Verse 14 says, then the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Look at what it profited here. And the son of... Now, why did he do that? Because they begin to obey his voice. So he stirred them up, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshedech, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And in the 24th day in the 6th month, in the second year of Darius the king. So they did what? Their spirit was rejuvenated. Maybe that's what we need to have to have today. You know, sometimes people not going to move anymore and put forth any more action, and they don't, you know, their prayer life gets weak, and all these other areas gets weak in their life because they just need a good old-fashioned stir. But what's going to happen before God's going to stir us? Obedience. You know, we can pray for revival till we're blue in the face. But until we're willing to take that step, and until we're saying, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I take and do so. Then I will bless them. But it's until we take that step of obedience, and the same thing that we see here in this particular story, it wasn't until they became obedient and they began to listen to the voice of the Lord their God, and they said, hey, you know what, boys? It's time to pick up an axe. It's time to go forward. It's time to do our part. It's time to pray. It's time to invite somebody to church. It's time to get interested in the work of the Lord. And until then, it's not going to happen. But when they done that, the Lord began to stir in their heart and their soul. And the Lord began to take and bless them. And then they had a desire to take it. You know, I believe that the more that we put forth the effort to do what God wants us to do, the more that God will put that desire within our heart to do that. You know, the great verse in the book of Psalms, it says, you know, that he'll give you the desire. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One of the most misconceived verses, and the biggest misconception that we have in confused verses, I believe, in all the Bible, probably. Because people read that verse and they say, oh, God will give me the desires of my heart if I delight myself in him. That means he'll give me what I want. Whatever my desires and my ambitions in this life, that's what he'll give me. That ain't what it says. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you, not things, he'll give you the desire of your heart. Otherwise, he'll put within you the right desire. He's going to give the desire. So you'll start to desire the right kind of things. You know, the New Testament talks about having the mind of Christ. You know, the more that we serve him, the more that we're obedient to him, the more that we try to follow his word and we do, you know what's going to happen? The more that he's going to stir in our heart and stir in our soul, and the more that then we're going to begin to think more like he does and have the right kind of desires. You know, there's a lot of things that I used to desire that I don't desire anymore. There's a lot of, because the Lord took those old desires away and put within me the right kind of desires. And everybody here, I'm sure, that's saved, you know, especially before you were saved, you had particular desires in particular. And I'm not saying that we don't still have the flesh and we have some bad desire. I'm not saying that's not the case. But the longer that you're a Christian, the more that some things that used to interest you, you don't care about that anymore. It's no big deal to you. And why? Because the Lord begins to put within you the right kind of desires. The more that you serve God, you'll desire the right kind of music. You'll desire the right kind of friends. You'll desire the right kind of things in your life because God begins to change. God begins to work. God begins to stir up these things in our life. And, well, look at what it profited me because of. And we find in chapter number 2, and I'm not going to get into all this, that he continued and continued to get that message across. And my, did they ever change, and did they ever take? Because they just simply needed to get interested in what God was interested in and get busy going in his direction. Let's be honest this morning, and I'm done. Let's just think about this. What happened with these people happens easily. Boy, it happens all of us. We get caught up in this life. And we get caught up in what we're doing. No, bad stuff, just life. And before you know it, we haven't given God any time. We haven't given God any. And we're busy doing this and doing that, and we got this, and we got. No, we need to put God first in every area of our life. Everything that I believe God ought to have. I believe He ought to have the first part of our day. I believe He ought to have the first part of our the first day of the week. He has the first of everything. God ought to have the beginning. That is what God, the first of our money. That's why He says are the first fruits, not what's left over. That's why there is no such thing as, well, I can't afford to tithe. That only make good sense. If you're giving God first, there's, you know, you might not be able to afford something else, but the truth of the matter is, if you do put God first, He's going to meet your needs. He's going to bless. But when we give Him the leftovers and we treat Him like an old dog out in the backyard, why should He bless? You know, old Haggai had a point. He had no idea that hundreds of years later there would be people that would say, boy, sound like He's talking to our generation. No, I guess that problem has been in every generation, and all goes back to putting God first. So let's stop this morning and let's consider our ways. Not somebody else's. Not looking to say, well, that's good for old so-and-so. No, it's good for all of us. Let's consider our ways this morning. Let's just stop and think. And I believe that the Lord may convict each and every one of us in some point, in some area of our life, that we're neglecting Him. And that we're putting Him in the back seat, so to speak. No, He needs to be the you know, I don't care what the old bumper stickers say. God's not my co-pilot. He's the pilot. He needs to be driving the car. I'm just a passenger saying, okay, Lord, Your will be done. Let's stand this morning and let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we sure are thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have today to just stop and pause for a moment and consider our ways. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would just take a moment this morning and examine their own heart and ask ourselves, have we shut You out of our life? Is there areas of our life that we just don't have time for You or Your plan? Is there areas of our life that we no longer have to take part in, and we've shut You out of our finances? We've shut You out of our agenda, and we know what we want, and we have our will. And well, Lord, the truth is, if not yet, we will find ourselves not getting anywhere. Our plan won't work. You'll see to that. You'll blow upon it. God, I pray, Lord, that You would bless right now and speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. All over with heads bowed. The piano was playing. There's folks at the altar. There's those that are coming right now. It might be that you, not the person next to you, not somebody else in front of you, but you need to come. Consider. Thank you. Old Testament book of Haggai. Overlooked probably by many, but Lord, when we see the just a few months of his ministry, but how powerful it was, because you had a particular agenda, you had a job, Lord, for him, and he took word for word what you told him to say, and he went and took it to the people, and conviction failed. They couldn't argue with the facts. And Lord, we can't this morning either. I pray, Lord, that we quit spinning our wheels and realize that we need you. The book of Psalms says, except the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain that build it. Without you, we can put forth all the effort we want to, but nothing's going to get accomplished without you. So Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to help us to see the importance of not neglecting you in every area of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, amen. Don't forget now, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be right back here for the evening service. There'll be choir practice today at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, the choir practice, church at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, take your bulletin. There's several things that's going on. Don't forget, no Master Club this coming Wednesday night. We'll all just take and be right in here. And then next Sunday night, Thanksgiving dinner and service, go by the bulletin board and sign up for something to bring, and we'll have a good time, I'm sure, with fellowship and just coming together and thanking God for so many things. All right, well, let's take and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.